Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the FF Faceoff, where fantasy football is debated. Here are your hosts from the East Coast, who've never heard a bet they didn't like, Michael Hoff and Anthony Servino.
All right. Welcome back, folks, to the FF Faceoff. This is a podcast proudly brought to you by Fantasy Football King.
Behold the king of kings.
Where we might not be from San Diego, but we still keep our DMs classy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best in the world!
What is going on, folks? Thank you for tuning in. As I mentioned, this is the FF Faceoff. This is a podcast that is coming at you 3 days a week, throwing down the gauntlet in the efforts to help end 2020 on a positive note, winning you a fantasy football championship. My name is Michael Hoff. You can follow me on Twitter at the FF Realist. My partner in crime is one of the best ranking experts in all of the fantasy land. His name is Anthony Servino, and he can be followed at the Real NFL Guru. Anthony, my man, how you doing today on what's been a little bit of a whirlwind on Twitter?
Despite everything else that's going on, I'm doing fantastic as usual, Mike. What about you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing better than most. I'm doing better than some. I'll just say this much. If you're on Twitter, you guys know what's going on. Chivalry might not be dead. Or it might be dead. It might be dead. It probably is dead at this point. But doesn't give you the right to act like a complete dick and set back the industry a couple of years. But that's my thoughts. Any other thoughts that you need or any more genuine thoughts, you can follow me at the FF Realist on Twitter. And I have it pinned to the top of my page. You can actually get my genuine thoughts. Not my, I've had a beer and this is my thoughts. So my truth serum. So there you go, Anthony. But listen, we certainly are not going to dive into all that nonsense today. We are going to actually get to some football, some fantasy football, Anthony. Today, you and me, we're going to be introducing to the audience a little bit of a game that we're going to play. It's going to be called All Day or No Way. So we'll be doing that today. We're going to pick a couple players we've already picked off air. We're going to discuss. Maybe some other guys will come up. And we're also going to do some news. So there you go. And Anthony, should also mention to the fine folks that our phone lines are open. So if you want to call in about literally anything, I suppose, within reason, I guess, maybe, you choose, you can call 417-275-2946, and that'll get you right on air with Anthony and myself. You can ask any fantasy football questions, any life questions, or whatever. Right, Anthony?
Yeah, absolutely. Call 417-275-2946. 417-ASK-TO-WIN. Call right now. We'll get you on air.
That's right. And as usual, the race is to see if we can actually get a show where somebody calls and where it's not ATL being the first caller. That's still the goal. So we'll see if one day that could get done. Anthony, for now, let's get into a little bit of the news. There's not a ton to discuss. The deadline passed for players to opt out of the NFL season. While it's been kind of said that if there is some extreme set of circumstances, something to that effect, that a player can still have the option to cut his season short, which is not a surprise and which is a good move by the NFL. So we'll see what happens there. Panthers left tackle, though, Anthony, Russell Okung, seriously considered opting out and is still mulling retirement due to some COVID-19 concerns. That came from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Anthony, you know, with everything going on with the Panthers, one thing is certain. They can't afford to lose anybody, especially on the offensive side of the ball, especially anywhere, actually. They couldn't even afford to lose the water boy right now. But do you have any thoughts there on Russell Okung and him seriously considering opting out and mulling retirement?
You know, I was already not the most optimistic person on that Carolina Panthers line. They traded away Trey Turner to Los Angeles, probably their one of their better linemen. And now Russell Okung, a player who I believe was acquired in that deal, he missed the opt-out date, but he's mulling retirement. You know, this is a guy who maybe has a couple of years left. It's going to be a big loss for the Carolina Panthers because while Russell Okung is no longer that player from years ago, I believe he played with Seattle, and he is coming off an injury, he is better than everything else they have along that Carolina Panther front five, and he would be protecting Teddy Bridgewater's blind side, I believe.
Yeah.
So this could be a catastrophic loss to an already weak Panthers line.
Right. So keep an eye on that, folks. The other little bit of news, this was a name that we talked about during the mental health podathon, Anthony, but Cardinals tight end Dan Arnold was named among the team's 2020 breakout candidates. Listen, this is a guy didn't really do a lot, obviously, in the early part of the season, but the last 3 weeks were promising, especially week 17. Did score a touchdown. I think he had about 4 or 6 targets in that last game, week 17. Anthony, this is a guy who will probably go undrafted. Well, will go undrafted. But if you're in any kind of tight end premium league, or if you're checking the waiver wire, maybe you're somebody who waits on tight end and whatever you're doing is not panning out, Dan Arnold might be a guy to look at some point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the tight end position wasn't much of anything last year under year one of Cliff Kingsbury. Even going back to when Bruce Arians there, I don't remember that Cardinals tight end position being anything of note. However, with Dan Arnold, as you said, he did flash a little bit with Kyler Murray at the end of last season. He came over from New Orleans, initially a converted wide receiver to the tight end position. So, you know, they can line him up everywhere. They can put him in the big slot. I think he could be a mismatch nightmare with how Cliff Kingsbury runs his offense. I like him in the red zone, and you're right, in your traditional league, you're not drafting Dan Arnold, but we play in extremely deep leagues, especially in Dynasty, and I find myself drafting Dan Arnold with one of my final picks in a lot of drafts, including the Scott Fishbowl. I liked Dan Arnold back in New Orleans. I think he kind of flared up a little bit when Kobe Fleener was still there during that mess of a season about 2 years ago.
Oh,
so Kobe Dan Fleener, Arnold, he's not a new player to me.
Listen, Anthony, as my podcast partner who would probably look out for my well-being, you got to warn me before you bring up the name Kobe Fleener again, because that still hurts.
I won a league that year, at the Kobe Fleener year, where he was supposed to break out and didn't do anything. I ended up winning a league that I had him in.
Okay.
For what it's worth.
You're someone who survived then.
That win was the reason why I basically punt the tight end in every season.
So we should have a shirt made that says, I drafted Kobe Fleener and I survived.
It was then where my punt the tight end trend began. It's all because of drafting Kobe Fleener and still overcoming it and winning that league.
Well, that will do it for any mortal man, Anthony. So, and by the way, really quick before we move on, the Cardinals schedule, again, I people get annoyed when people bring up strength of schedule. And I don't like to look at it over the course of a 16-game season because, again, defenses change, philosophies change, players change positions, blah, blah, blah. But I do like to look at it a little bit in the first few weeks to get a little bit of an assessment. And in regards to the Cardinals matchup against tight ends, well, against defenses, against the tight end position, Cardinals have favorable matchups in weeks 2, 4, and 5. So there could be something there. So keep that in mind as you prepare or maybe go to work the wire after your drafts. Because, again, Dan Arnold will probably go undrafted. So there you go. Anthony, after that, man, if we got to go any further here, probably the biggest piece of news that came out in the last few days, I think it was yesterday, was Raiders offensive coordinator Greg Olson, not to be confused with Greg Olson. It's O-L-S-O-N, not O-L-S-E-N. So,
yeah, but are you pronouncing it correct? Is it Olson or is it Olson?
I'm pronouncing it. I'm pronouncing it just to give folks.
Okay.
Just to let them know that this is not the Greg Olson. So it could be a Greg Olson, but not the Greg Olson. So now that we got that awkwardness out of the way, he has said, though, that first round wide receiver Henry Ruggs will start in the slot for the Las Vegas Raiders. Anthony, to me, this speaks more to Hunter Renfrow and what this does to him. I do want to mention before we kick it to you that since the end of July, the ADP for Henry Ruggs has risen almost a full round. So it was already on the way up. So it's only going to go further up. So what are your thoughts here? I believe, and I can check this while you're talking, Henry Ruggs is right around a mid to late ninth round PPR selection. So what are your thoughts there, Henry Ruggs, and what it means for Hunter Renfrow?
If Ruggs indeed opens up the season in the slot, Hunter Renfrow could be out of a job. And I like Hunter Renfrow. I believe he led the Raiders last year in targets, despite missing a couple games. Hunter Renfrow played on 54.2% of the team's snaps and lined up in the slot 66.8% of the time. This makes Hunter Renfrow virtually undraftable.
Yep.
Am I off the wall to say that?
No, not at all. Because I was thinking that even at this point, I was thinking that you were looking at it was basically deeper leagues, deeper PPR leagues, or not really much at all. I mean, you weren't drafting even before this news. You weren't drafting Hunter Renfrow if you're one of those types that does a standard league. I send my condolences, but you know. He was probably better suited for a PPR league, maybe half point, depending on how deep it is. But yeah, this kind of makes him undraftable. This makes him a wait and see off the waiver wire, as far as I'm concerned.
Which is crazy because we both like him a lot. He looked the part last year. He looked like he had a rapport with Derek Carr. And there's another report on top of Ruggs that came out earlier today. USA Today's Marcus Mosher reports that another rookie, Bryan Edwards, could start at the X receiver spot. This suggests that he, like Ruggs, they've both passed Hunter Renfrow. We know Tyrell Williams is going to start. So all of a sudden, the team's leader in targets from last season is on the outside looking in three wide sets. A little bit mind-blowing. I don't know. I thought Renfrow was a little bit better than that.
It's a little bit mind blowing, but it's also Hunter Renfrow. I mean, all due respect, it's not exactly Michael Thomas.
He flashes a little bit last year and he eventually goes like almost like a Wes Welker where he possibly goes off to another team in the future and breaks out, or maybe Ruggs doesn't work or one of these guys gets banged up and he gets an opportunity and doesn't look back.
Yeah,
I'm not ready to give up on Hunter Renfrow. I just can't draft him in traditional moving forward, and I was drafting him a lot.
Yeah, I don't think this is the proverbial fat lady singing here. I do think that this stunts his fantasy football growth, if that's a good way to put it. Yeah, this isn't to say that he couldn't go somewhere else, or if they decide, or maybe, listen, Anthony, I don't know if you have that sound drop at the ready, but we did make a sound drop for Coach Speak, did we not? But you don't have it at the ready, do you?
No, I do, actually.
I'll play it.
I do, actually.
I always tell the truth, even when I lie.
Did it sound good?
It sounded amazing.
It sounded amazing. Well, it's true, and it's perfect for Coach Speak, and we're going to use that from now on whenever we hear some Coach Speak. So, but as far as the Coach Speak, maybe Ruggs, sure, maybe, but maybe he won't be firmly planted in the slot 24/7. Maybe there will still be opportunity for Hunter Renfrow to play there. So it's a wait and see, but definitely a discouraging thing if you're a Hunter Renfrow guy like Anthony or myself.
See, I told you when I said a little bit too little, you know, a couple of mouths to feed in Oakland. You didn't like when I said that, but now starting to look that way a little bit. It's not the sexiest offense. Right. It's not the most explosive offense, but they do have weapons. And if this offense can somehow click, I'm optimistic on the Las Vegas Raiders a little bit this year.
So many mouths to feed, Anthony. So many mouths to feed. As I pour my drink.
Let's be serious here before we move off of this topic.
Serious.
Before
sure.
we move off.
Okay.
I do want to own a piece of the Raiders passing attack. No, I don't want to pay up for Darren Waller.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, Tyrell Williams, he is what he is. Mm-hmm. It was Hunter Renfrow and a little bit of Ruggs. Now I feel like I'm just going to attack Henry Ruggs a little bit more.
Yeah, that's fair. And again, he's about mid ninth round, so not a terrible draft price. But what does this make you think about Carr? Do you think about Derek Carr at all? I mean, he did mention he's tired of getting disrespected.
I think about him a lot, yes.
Like two quarterback league, you know. I mean, he's not a one quarterback league guy, you know, right? We're not thinking that. We're not going crazy.
No,
right?
And I don't even in a two quarterback. I mean, I'm not taking Derek Carr in a two quarter.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Back. Unless he's my QB3, if he's around that long, maybe I'll take a shot on a Derek Carr. I don't trust John Gruden. At any time, would it shock you if he turned to Marcus Mariota?
Not at all. Not at all. I just
Which
wanted
is
to get your perspective.
Preposterous, because I wish I copied it down. Colin Coward the other day had one of those blind comparisons, and it was Derek Carr versus another quarterback, and this other quarterback was Carson Wentz. And Derek Carr, numbers-wise, edged out Carson Wentz. And Derek Carr is a guy that it seems like he wants to get pushed, or now he doesn't want to be pushed out of Oakland, but they're trying to push him out of Oakland every season.
Well, that's fair that you bring up Blind and Colin Cowherd, because some of his analysis is pretty blind.
Stop.
So there you go. There you go. Good
job. $6 billion a year says is his analysis is pretty damn good.
Doesn't mean he's good at his. I mean, it means that he's good in rallying up the. Rallying up social media doesn't mean he's actually good with his analysis, Anthony.
Oh.
There's two different things. He's good at riling folks up. That's why he gets paid what he gets paid. Anyway, but I did want to ask you about Derek Carr only because there are situations in which, like you mentioned, you're getting a little excited about the offense, a little optimistic, and I wanted to see does that translate to the quarterback position, because there are times where like the 49ers, for example, there's players that we're excited about at the skill positions. But that doesn't necessarily translate to Jimmy Garoppolo. We're not exactly tripping over ourselves to draft Jimmy Garoppolo. So that's kind of why I was asking that question, Anthony. But
he's the 101 of smiles, Mike.
That's it, man. One of the best in the business. That's it. All right. Listen, as we get into our all day, no way, I wanted to bring up a player that plays for San Francisco now that you brought up to me. I'm not sure if you actually drafted him or not, but we said that we did talk about it a little bit on Tuesday's show or Monday's show. I don't even know what's going on anymore. Wednesday's show. My days are all screwed up. It's Wednesday's show. I apologize. The player is Jordan Reed, new 49er, tight end position. Anthony, I mean, this wasn't a best ball draft, though, right? Where were you drafting here where you asked me about him?
One of them was the Raz Bowl, which is better ball. And I believe it's a best ball format for the first 12 or 13 weeks. And then it goes into your standard fantasy. I have to double check on the on how the season ends. But I know at least for the first 12 or 13 weeks, it's best ball. And I did take Jordan Reed there. And I also took Jordan Reed in the league that I'm in there with you and Faith. She's in it. What is it, Fantasy and Frame, something like that, one of those leagues?
That might be the Hunger one.
The Hunger Bowl, yes.
Yes, that's the Hunger Bowl.
Yes.
Which my team is
and I took Jordan Reed there. I was desperate at tight end. All you guys glommed him up.
Sorry, not sorry. But here's the thing, Jordan Reed. I like him for best ball formats. I think that if there's a situation in which he's going to be used – it'll be maybe if George Kittle gets hurt, God forbid, obviously he'll be used then. But other than that, if Kittle's playing, it's going to be more in line with if he's filtering out for maybe some wide receivers or a two tight end set. He might affect receivers more. I mean, I look at him kind of like, you know, you look at the last couple of years with the tight end position in San Francisco. Ross Dwelly last season caught, what do you have? About, I think... forget how many receptions he had, but 91 yards and two touchdowns last season while George Kittle was injured. And by the way, both of those touchdowns and 80 yards receiving, 80 of those 91, came in a home game against Arizona when Kittle was out. Kittle, if you remember, got hurt on Thursday night when they played in Arizona. So minimal output there. And then you look at Garrett Celek back in 2018, practically a carbon copy of Ross Dwelly's numbers from 2019, right around 90-something yards, right around 80-something yards, two touchdowns. So, I honestly don't think you're looking at a lot more than that. And that's why I would like him to a best ball format. Because I think that, you know, you don't have to worry about when he's going to pop because you don't got to put him into a starting lineup. It's the highest player scored that week. So, there you go. That's where I would look at him for. So, if we're doing this with all day or no way, I would respectfully go no way on Jordan Reed. Anthony, you would go all day, sort of?
I don't want to know.
This is the problem with this segment.
I can do this all day, man.
It's yay or nay, man.
You know what? Yes, I'm drafting Jordan Reed. And I'll put it out there right now. I don't know where I feel comfortable drafting him yet. You know, in these leagues that I have already drafted him in, I'm getting him with one of my final picks, one of my final four picks. And again, these are extremely deep leagues, you know, over, you know, 20, 23 man roster spots.
Fair enough.
The 49ers, Mike, I said this the other day, they tried trading for Evan Ingram at the trade deadline. They were not going to move assets to bring in an Evan Ingram to be Ross Dwelly, to be the backup to George Kittle. There would have been a role for Evan Ingram, and I believe a healthy Jordan Reed is going to have a role on this team. He's not the same tight end as Kittle. Even when Jordan Reed was at his best. Yeah. George Kittle is a better player, hands down. But Jordan Reed's a special player, especially with the ball in his hand. He's a mismatch nightmare. He is extremely fast despite the size. And if you look at the 49ers wide receivers,
mm-hmm.
why couldn't Jordan Reed carve out a role? Okay, Debo's banged up, but you know he's going to be the one. We don't know what Brandon Ayuk is yet. He's a rookie. And Jalen then Hurd. You have everybody. Okay, Jalen Hurd, but we don't know what he is yet, Mike. Trent Taylor, the dude can't stay healthy. So what I'm saying here, I'm just like the 49ers did. They made a no risk with a potential high reward signing, and that's how I view Jordan Reed. If I'm drafting him in the 19th round, in the 17th round, it is no risk. Look at the player pool that's left. Frank Gore, come on. There's no upside there. There's barely a floor.
There's what?
Jordan Reed with Frank Gore.
Wait, Frank Gore? There's
okay. What? What? Where?
Some floor there.
What? That needs to be mopped?
There's a floor-ish. Okay. It's not built on great foundations. Okay, but
there's no ceiling.
There.
And when I'm picking in the back end of drafts, I want ceilings. I'm not looking for a floor in the 19th round.
You said he had no floor. As long as Frank Gore is in Adam Gase's offense, there is a floor.
Okay, that's great.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Great.
He's in the best spot he could be.
Absolutely.
Jordan Reed long on this.
Has value as long as you're not overdrafting him, which you're not. You're getting him again round 16, 17, 18, one of your last picks, very low risk with the potential of a pretty decent reward. Okay? That's all I'm saying. You want to talk about Frank Gore? Go ahead.
No. I just realized that since we're not recording, remember we had the technical issues. I had to record from my parents' house inside the grandbaby's room. I just want to let you know that I'm not there today. I'm at my own home, so I don't have the Doc McStuffins kit in case I get you upset. So I can't heal you. So let's move on before
trying to have a serious show.
We are having a serious show. This is a very serious show. I'm very serious that Frank Gore has some sort of floor as long as he's in an Adam Gase offense. It's the best place for Frank Gore to be. But I hear what you're saying. All jokes aside and everything else. No, there is some sort of if he could stay healthy, and that's the biggest thing. Jordan Reed, you know, there were so many concerns with the concussions. You just pray the guy could stay healthy. But if he can, yes, he's talented enough to carve out some sort of role in this offense. Yes. So there you go.
And again, a lot of these guys you're looking at when you're looking to hit the draft button on Jordan Reed, a lot of these guys that you could pick over Jordan Reed are likely going to be on waivers anyway. So if Jordan Reed goes down, then go get the other guy later.
Okay. So there you go. Anthony, let's move it on. And let's go to one of my favorite guys from the draft, one of my favorite guys headed into this season. I feel like we stopped talking about him for a while, but let's bring him back up. And that is Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings, currently going with the 4th pick of the 11th round. Wide receiver 48. Anthony, I find his draft stock to be absolutely hysterical. And I am going all day on Justin Jefferson. 111 receptions in his final year at LSU. One of the things I like about him is he played a lot in the slot in his last year there at LSU. But in the year prior, he did play outside too. So he's shown the ability, at least in college, to be able to play in certain spots of the field. We also had Kubiak talking about the offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, saying that Justin Jefferson will play in the slot quite a bit. I also think that while he's not the fastest guy in the world, he's one of the best route runners to come out of this rookie class, and he's entering a great situation where Stephon Diggs left vacated targets, and we know that that's one of the favorite words, two words, I guess, in the fantasy football industry. Anthony, I am wholeheartedly, unequivocally, and emotionally invested in Justin Jefferson and saying all day, Anthony, I mean, we'll get your thoughts, but listen, I'll put it to you this way, man. 11th round, okay? Let me give you 4 receivers currently slated for the 11th round. Jalen Reagor, Justin Jefferson, Sammy Watkins, DeSean Jackson. I know DeSean Jackson is a sexy name, too, obviously, if he could stay healthy, but Justin Jefferson, come on. Second receiver in Minnesota, no? All day.
It's a no way for me, Mike.
Whoa.
No way.
And it's a no way for me. Number one, What do we know about Minnesota now that we're going to get Dalvin Cook presumably for at least 14 to 16 games this year? They don't throw a ton with the healthy Dalvin Cook. That offense is going to be facilitated through Dalvin Cook, and there's going to be minimized opportunities for these pass catchers. It's not going to be like 2018 where Kirk Cousins was airing it out.
Right. Sure.
And I'm not against Justin Jefferson. I liked him. I thought he was going to end up in Philly. I thought that he should have been drafted over a guy like a Henry Ruggs. But the reason why I'm going to pass on Justin Jefferson is because there's a wide receiver in a 12th round that I rather reach for. And that player that I would reach for is Anthony Miller from the Chicago Bears. I'd much rather have Anthony Miller, who has already flashed in the league. He's been dealing with injuries in his first two seasons, but when healthy, he looks the part. And now all the reports are suggesting that Anthony Miller is all good to go for this season. This is year three for this kid. We saw him flash a whole hell of a lot during the second half of the year when Mitchell Trubisky was playing, for what it's worth, his best form of football. So I'm going to go in on Anthony Miller and reach for him over Justin Jefferson.
Well, I'll make a bet now if you want that in PPR formats, Justin Jefferson will have a better statistical, better fantasy season.
Really?
Than Miller, yeah, in PPR formats, yes, I'll make that bet. And I get what you're saying though. This is not going to be like you said in 2018. This is not going to be where the one and two wide receivers in Minnesota both have over 150 targets. Absolutely, that will not happen. Thielen last year was the second most targeted wide receiver in Minnesota. Only played in 10 games. Would have been on pace for around 76 or so, right in that range, 75. Stephon Diggs had 94 last year, which I already mentioned. But I still think that if he can get around 70 targets, which is not crazy, even if this offense is, like you said, which I agree. I agree from that standpoint. The fact that Dalvin Cook is there, as long as he's healthy, as long as he's not holding out, this offense, yes, will run through Dalvin Cook. I agree. But I still think that there is enough targets there from Kirk Cousins to get a player like this in the 11th round. And again, I like Anthony Miller, just like you like Justin Jefferson. But in a PPR format, I would be willing to make that bet.
Yeah, no, I put it down in our bet sheet already. Okay. Because I'm going to track these things.
Do we have any other bets in there?
Not yet.
First one, fantastic. All right, yeah, there you go. So, I mean, all right, Anthony, give this part to me. And then we'll move on. How many targets, if you had, give me a range. Obviously, I know you don't have an exact number on you, probably. Give me a range. What kind of targets do you think we're looking at for Justin Jefferson?
I would say right around that 80 range, if he gives you a full season.
Okay. Had an incredible catch percentage when in his final year at LSU, you know. Take that for what you will. I know you only like
that's
college
about five
numbers.
Targets a game.
I know you only like yes it is, and I know you only like college numbers to a certain extent. So I'm not gonna I don't want to step on your toes. I remember one time I brought up too many college numbers. You almost killed me on this show, so I'll leave it alone. But all right, okay. But either way, you do like Justin Jefferson. But you're not gonna buy him here, right?
No, I'd rather wait the round and or reach for Anthony Miller, which I don't think that's not me down on Jefferson. I just think entering year three, I like what Anthony Miller did down the stretch last year from weeks 11 to week 15. He had at least 11.4 PPR points in all of those games. I believe that was a 5-game stretch. He also finished as the wide receiver 7, the wide receiver 24, which makes him a wide receiver 2 that week, and also the wide receiver 5.
Yeah.
So 3 wide receiver 2 finishes in that 5-week time span. That's the type of upside you can get with Anthony Miller.
Yeah.
And again, he was getting torn. I mean, and he in 2 of those games. Or 3 of those games, he had at least 11 targets and 9 in 4 of those games. So,
right. Again, when you break it down, listen, I know Twitter tells you otherwise, but you are allowed to like both players in a debate. So Anthony, you and I are both optimistic about both these players. You're just a little optimistic about one, and I'm a little bit optimistic about the other one. So there you go. But we'll end it there. There you go. Let's go to another guy who is a bit more controversial, Anthony. His name is Antonio Brown. I'm going to tell you right now, Anthony, I'm going to kick it to you because I think you're going to be more of an optimist. I'm just going to tell you right now, I am a big, fat no way. And I'll tell you why. He's going to be
no way.
And while Kareem Hunt was, quickly after he was suspended, we knew what team he was going to. The Browns were quick to act. And sure, maybe a team could act quick within the next 24, 48 hours in the next week. But for now, there's no statistic category for rap albums. And if there were, you would probably get negative points because they're not very good. So, Anthony, I can't buy into Antonio Brown. I think you're going to go the other way. Maybe if you don't, you'll surprise me. But talk to me
you're a small
about
man.
Antonio Brown in 2020.
Mike, I'm all in all day.
I can do this all day, man.
On Antonio Brown. And my allure, I guess, is the word. My first share of Antonio Brown came into Scott Fishbowl. And if you saw the ADP on Josh ADHD's, you know, Scott Fishbowl draft tracker, there are people aggressively drafting him. You know, I saw him going 11th, 12th round. I think I got Antonio Brown much, much later. And, you know, whatever, for a guy like this, there's potential ceiling. We don't know anything. And now a few weeks later, what do we know? The whole story changed. This isn't going to be a 16-game ban. This is going to be 12. It's not going to be 10. It's going to be 8. So we know after the first 8 weeks of the year, Antonio Brown can play football. It's not he signs with the team and the league has to make another ruling. He will be able to play football. One of these teams going to pick Antonio Brown up.
Sure.
Let's backtrack. When Josh Gordon, who had, let's face it, one big year, a very, very, very long time ago. When Josh Gordon, anytime he was reinstated, people were overpaying for Josh Gordon, overdrafting him. And this was a player who not only didn't play football, but the last time he was any good was like 8 years ago, maybe more. Antonio Brown, for a good 5, 6, maybe 7 years, was in the conversation to be the best wide receiver in the NFL. I'm not drafting Antonio Brown in the first or second round. I'm getting him, just like I had said about a Dan Arnold, extremely late in deep leagues. I know I'm going to get half a season out of him as long as he gets his head out of his ass. And he's going to probably go to a contender. Like, Antonio Brown's not going to go to Washington. He's going to go and try to win a Super Bowl somewhere. And if he ends up with the right quarterback in the right locker room who can keep him on track, you potentially can draft league-winning upside in like round 18. Again, look at the players that's out there. If it doesn't work with Antonio Brown, you could pick up one of these other bums you didn't draft and favor Antonio Brown. Pick him up in week three.
Bums. Well, leave alone. They got families. Bums.
Let's call it what it is. Let's see, Antonio Brown or Ty Montgomery. Who's going to give me more ceiling in the 18th round?
You always Ty Montgomery. You would draft Ty Montgomery over Antonio Brown. Don't fool anybody.
You know, you know where I'm at.
I know what you're saying, but I still, because you bring up the Josh Gordon thing, and you bring up every time he's ready to come back, everybody just pines for him and they want him, and I get it. His body of work was based off of 1 year. You're absolutely right. One ginormous year.
A long time ago.
I know. A long time ago.
A long time ago
in a land far, far away. Long. I get it. You're right, for the love of God. But isn't there something to kind of learn from that? That with a player, when he's ready to come back, he comes back and he plays good for a little bit, and then he's gone or he does something stupid. Why is Antonio Brown not in that discussion? Because to me, he is. Because to me, when I'm drafting Antonio Brown, I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, now that I've got Antonio Brown, now I got to keep an eye on TMC because I got to see what happens next. Because I got to know that he's not going to shoot himself in the foot. And I can't trust him, so I got to watch and see. And I don't have the patience for that this year. I want to win titles. So I don't want to wait and watch TMZ and see what this guy's doing. And you're also, if he comes back, I agree with you. A team will pick him up, and it will be a contender. It's not going to be the Panthers. It's not going to be the Redskins. The Washington football team, like you said. Mm. It's going to be somebody like, you know, the Ravens or the Seahawks probably would be the front runners. He's got to acclimate himself to this offense or to that offense, whichever one he plays in. After missing 8 weeks, and the teams are likely to be in a good groove because, again, like you said, they're going to be Super Bowl contenders. I don't know. I'm not huge on it. I get it. The investment, if he pans out, whatever. I'd rather draft elsewhere.
It's like the same narrative in Dynasty, right? It's a 50-50. It's a lottery ticket. It's like if you held on to Gronk on the back end of a deep Dynasty team, you won. But if Gronk didn't come back, you lose. You have to play the game, and as long as you're not paying out the ass for these guys, then why not take the shot? Like, go pick up Andrew Luck.
All right.
Who I have always said he's not done. I don't believe he's done. Which is why Indianapolis keeps putting these one-year Band-Aids on the position.
Wishful thinking. They're the kings of wishful thinking. For those who know the Pretty Woman soundtrack.
I'm the Dale Gribble of fantasy football at my conspiracy theories.
I know. They are plentiful.
Pocket sand.
Let's get to a guy who's not suspended for 8 games. Let's get to a guy who has a team to call home. Let's get to Baker Mayfield of the Cleveland Browns. Anthony, I'm assuming, I sent you one last email with a sound drop that would have been perfect for this, but I didn't tell you in time.
No, but it's ready. So I'll play it right now.
You have no idea how bad it gets. Nope. I wish I knew how to quit you.
It just played, finished. Just did.
Well, I don't hear them, so I gotta know from you. But yeah, that's where I am at with Baker Mayfield and with Odell Beckham, who we're gonna talk about both right now. Anthony, let's talk about Baker first, man, all right? Third pick of the 12th round right now, the 17th quarterback off the board. You know, you talk about a long, long time ago. It feels like a long, long time ago with Baker Mayfield when he was really positioned to be one of the top drafted quarterbacks in fantasy football last season. You know,
and I tried back warning down, everybody.
You did. You, including me, you tried to warn me, not even weekly, daily. Every day, like, good morning, Mike. Here's your reminder. Don't trust Baker Mayfield. But I didn't listen. But here we are, man. And, you know, everything you hear, just like every season, I know. He's been home. He's been working out. He's been getting in shape. You know, where's he going to go? It's a COVID world. I get it. Leave me alone. But all signs point to Baker Mayfield having his head on straight. He did say he's taking a new approach in regards to the way he conducts himself. So maybe not as much bravado. Maybe it's not as much posing with tigers, shirtless. You know, the biggest thing for me with Baker Mayfield is this Kevin Stefanski offense. And I say that because I feel like Kevin Stefanski is a much more organized guy than Freddie Kitchens, which really, Anthony, was the core of you warning everybody. I like Baker Mayfield. Do I like him in a 10-quarterback league? No. Do I like him in a 12-quarterback league? I'm listening. 2-quarterback league? Absolutely. I am buying in all day on Baker Mayfield. Anthony, you were quick to warn everybody last year, and you were right, and I gave you the victory lap. I think in like week 5, I think I conceded. but talk to me. How are you feeling now about Baker Mayfield?
Now I love Baker Mayfield.
And
I love Baker Mayfield, as I say all the time. I could trash a player, I could praise a player, but it all comes down to price.
Everybody's got a
price. Everybody is in play depending on their price, at least for me. And last year, Baker Mayfield was being drafted as a top 3 to 5 quarterback. And I said, don't do it. And I said, it's Freddie, it's body language, it's this, it's that. He's appearing on Stone Cold reality TV in August when he should be on a practice field with his team, and he wasn't. But now you're paying a 12th round ADP for Baker Mayfield. And for what? The same ceiling. So you essentially are getting what you were paying for last year, only a good 5 to 6 rounds later.
And with a better coaching staff.
Better coaching staff and better personnel. When you consider a full 16 out of Kareem Hunt, the offensive line additions, and also Austin Hooper.
Also, two things I like about Baker Mayfield is his matchups in weeks 2 and weeks 3. He's got the Cincinnati Bengals in week 2, the Washington Redskins in week 3. Nicely sandwiched between, tough matchups with the Ravens to kick things off, and then your Dallas Cowboys, which will not be an easy game. That one is in Dallas as well. But maybe if you're a DFS guy too, if you don't want to draft him, just keep that in mind. Put that in your back pocket. Cincinnati Bengals, Washington Redskins, weeks 2 and 3. Sign me up for that. But Anthony,
just to stop you here,
go.
Baker plays Baltimore pretty well, for what it's worth, right?
I had to pull that up.
Least in the first game, I believe this was before the Marcus Peters deal, threw for 342 yards.
Yes, you're right, actually. You are right, yes.
And then even going back to 2018, week 5, he put up another 342 and 19 fantasy points. And this was in 2018. And the second time these two teams met, Baker in week 17 put up 376 and 21 fantasy points, along with 3 touchdowns. So Baker, as tough as a matchup is, seems like he brings his best Baker against Baltimore. So, yes, tough matchup on paper, but the Baker baller, or the baller in Baker, shows up against Baltimore. A lot of balls in that equation.
Easy with that. Good thing we're not talking about the Colts today. Anthony, 22 touchdowns last year. 21 picks, which was horrifically bad. He had 14 as a rookie, which should have been understandable. It was 27 touchdown passes. Anthony, where do you think Baker Mayfield kind of falls here in the touchdown passes? Do you think I had said last year, I remember last summer, I said, I don't care, I'll say it, because I have no problem being accountable for my mistakes. I said Baker Mayfield can give us 30 touchdowns.
Ooh.
He did not. I did. I said,
I know you did.
I know I did. I know you know I did. But 22. But Anthony, where do we think he can go here? Do we think he can? Do we think he's middle 27, 22, as opposed, with his rookie year and his sophomore year? Can he fire it away and do better than his rookie year, past 27 touchdowns? Where would you project Baker Mayfield and the touchdown passes to go in a Kevin Stefanski offense? By the way, we should talk a little bit about Austin Hooper here, too, by the way. But go on.
I believe Baker is going to give us in that 25 to 28 range.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're either going to get right in the middle, or if he really clicks and these guys stay healthy, primarily Odell Beckham Jr. If he's healthy, we could see a big season out of Baker Mayfield, and it's all on Odell Beckham Jr. to me. This is a guy last year, and we're going to talk about, I know we're going to segue to Odell Beckham Jr. He went over 1,000 yards playing through a core muscle injury, very painful. That's all good to go. Odell Beckham Jr. for the most part, with the exception of this week saying there should be no football, he's been on his best behavior with the Cleveland Browns.
That's not even bad behavior, but go on.
I'm buying into these guys. Their prices are cheaper, and if they're healthy, and if Austin Hooper can be, and he's not going to get the volume in Atlanta, but I think he's really going to thrive in the red zone. There's a lot of pop in this offense. So, yeah, I find myself buying Baker Mayfield in super flex leagues, in best ball leagues. And I don't have a ton of Odell Beckham Jr. because there's a lot of other wide receivers I like. And I just, if I'm going to go draft a ceiling, because that's why you're drafting Odell Beckham Jr., you're drafting him for the potential ceiling, which is theoretically top 5 overall wide receiver ceiling.
Now, Anthony, we have 2 comments in Periscope. One says, which I have a feeling this probably has to do with your mentioning balls about 5 too many times in a sentence. But there was a comment here that says, Anthony's getting risky with these comments. Again, I have a feeling it has to do with the balls. And then also Mike over here at Mike WAR 412-342-464, maybe his phone number. I don't know. But he had said that they're going to run a ton, and they probably will run a ton. But does that? And this is, I wanted to ask you this before we moved on to Odell. I wanted to say to you, so Baker, is he all day or no way for you? But in answering that question, bring that to light. They're going to run a lot. They're going to do a lot of two tight end sets. That's going to help them run the ball. Does that kind of scare you away from potentially drafting Baker Mayfield, yes or no?
No, again, because of the price. And sure, yes, they are going to run a lot. Mm-hmm. Cleveland last year, they ran a lot. The Cleveland Browns were 20th in team pass plays per game. So they were already running the ball with Chubb a ton last season. That could go up a little bit, but, you know, it's not scaring me away because we're paying, what, 12th round ADP for the same ceiling that we were paying 5th round ADP last year.
All right. Now, let's get to Odell Beckham. You brought him up a little bit. You talked about him already, the core injury, everything else. I wanted to kind of ask you, I understand he dealt with an injury last year, and we know that they're going to run the ball a little more this year. I think that is true. I also buy into what you're saying in regards to, yeah, sure, but even if they do, the cost of what you're paying for Baker Mayfield, you know. How much better do we think this stat line for Odell Beckham could be? And when I bring that up, I mentioned to you 133 targets, 74 receptions, just over 1,000 yards, 1,035 to be exact, and 4 touchdowns. How much better do we expect this stat line to go to? I'm asking you that because I'll say this, and then you can give me your answer. I don't think we should expect a huge jump in receptions. I don't think we should expect a huge jump in yards. So to me, it's got to be the touchdowns. And maybe that lends to what we talked about, Baker Mayfield going up to maybe 25 to 28 touchdowns. What are your thoughts there on Odell Beckham?
Well, he did have 133 targets last year, 74, yep. 1035, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
If Odell Beckham Jr.
Breaking news. Darius Geis has been arrested.
Wow.
On domestic violence charges. So, there's that. There is some breaking news for you that we were not expecting. I know this is a day in which chivalry seemed like it's dead, but there's that. Anthony, your thoughts on Darius Geis?
It is it's catastrophic news for the fantasy football world, the NFL world, the Washington football franchise. But unfortunately, it's domestic violence, which means, you know, a lot could have happened in the home of Darius Geis or wherever this took place. It's unfortunate. It's poor decision making. And potentially, this could be career ending for Darius Geis. The guy's coming off of, you know, he can't stay on the field as it is. And on top of it all, he's going to be an issue off the field as well. Washington wants to be a new team. They want to go in a different direction. And I truly believe if this domestic violence is bad, and no domestic violence is good, but if it is something, you know, catastrophic, Darius Geis is going to be released from the Washington Redskins or from the Washington football franchise. I said, I believe if this domestic violence, Mike, now that you're back, is catastrophic, yeah, he's going to be released. The team they want a new culture. Yeah. It's evident they want a new culture. Ron Rivera is probably going to pull the trigger.
Yeah, I heard that as I was getting up, and that's what I was thinking when I was going to get myself a drink, was I was thinking that you were 10,000,000% correct in that, yeah, this is a team that wants to build a new culture. They wanted to build a new culture when they changed the team name. They want to build a new culture to stray away from everything that apparently went on with Daniel Snyder, Jay Gruden, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, this does not bode well. And it sucks because this is my, like, I feel like the fantasy community, all we did was we wanted Darius guys to just be okay and play, you know? And it just goes to show you, these guys post these videos of them working out, running cone drills really super fast, but it doesn't tell you what they're doing at home. It doesn't just, it sucks.
And folks, sucks. You know, fantasy football wise, prepare for a running back by committee in Washington.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to see a mix of Antonio Gibson. We could see Adrian Peterson. If Bryce Love could look like the old Bryce Love before the injury, we also have J.D. McKissic as their pass-catching specialist. They brought in Peyton Barber. Darius Geis was the one back in that running back room who could have taken over the position. Now, I expect a committee approach to Washington, and a lot of these guys are undraftable to me.
Antonio Gibson is intriguing to me, though. I'm just going to put that out there.
He's
intriguing. And I know Adrian Peterson apparently made a comment saying that his goal, Anthony, was to break Emmitt Smith's rushing record, which not sure if it's going to happen. He's a ways away. But yeah, I think those are the two guys to look at, in my opinion. And I wouldn't mind taking a shot on Gibson late. I'm curious to see where his ADP goes after this news.
Listen, I like Gibson because he's a hybrid player. That's what's alluring about Gibson. What he can do in PPR, you know, they can do a little bit of everything. I heard somebody comp him to a bigger version of Ty Montgomery, which could be fun.
You love Ty Montgomery.
I do.
You should play the Wish I Could Quit You drop for you and Ty Montgomery.
I released him from my dynasty teams. I quit him already.
You ain't done. You ain't done until he officially announces his retirement. You ain't done. You think you're done, but you ain't done.
No, that's AJ Green for me.
That is AJ Green for you. Oh my God. All right, but anyway.
AJ Green in 2030 when he's retired.
But Darius, guys, kick in the pants. Damn it, Darius. But all right, fine. Odell, we were talking about where you thought Odell could improve on his numbers. So we went through the stat line. I'll give it to folks again in case they're just tuning in. Odell Beckham last year, with a core injury that he suffered very early on, by the way, folks don't realize that, 133 targets, 74 receptions, 1,035 yards, and 4 receiving touchdowns. So, Anthony, as we get off of the disappointing Darius Geis news and get back into Cleveland here, where can Odell Beckham improve on this stat line?
Certainly touchdown-wise, you know, he had his second fewest touchdowns of his career, the fewest coming in 2017, where he only played in 4 games. This is a guy, I believe, who can double his touchdowns to 8, possibly even get up to 10. Receptions, listen, I'm going off the old Odell Beckham Jr. numbers because that's where he could potentially be. And if Baker Mayfield works and Odell Beckham Jr. is healthy, I think we can see a special bounce back season out of Odell Beckham Jr. And I don't feel like I'm crazy. He was the number 2 wide receiver in deep targets last year. They took shots. The miss was maybe he, you know, Odell wasn't running as fast because of the core muscle injury and Baker was floating the ball over his head. Odell's going to catch these balls now that he's healthy.
I'm not bashing Odell. Not at all. And this is another guy that I wish I could quit, but I can't. But I just think that if he doesn't prove, which I think he will, it's going to be in the touchdown category. I don't see, though. I mean, receptions, maybe he gets 7 to 10 more receptions. Maybe he gets, I don't know, a little closer to 1,100 yards. I don't see it going much further than that, though. So, but I think touchdowns is it. And I want to remind folks, I like to let folks know to look through a certain lens. Remember, last year you were drafting him. If you were drafting him in PPR formats, you were drafting him with the 3rd pick in the 2nd round. Now you're talking about the 9th pick in the 3rd round. So makes it a little bit easier to digest. So, Anthony, are you all day or no way? I am cautiously optimistic all day on Odell Beckham. Where are you?
I'm all day on Baker, but I see myself fading Odell Beckham Jr. more times than not. So I'm on the no way. Even though I believe in his ceiling and I believe in a bounce back, the position is so deep where I'm not going to take a chance on Odell Beckham Jr. at his ADP.
Okay. And, you know, that's kind of fair.
Ninth pick in the third round. Look at the guys going around him. Allen Robinson, DJ Moore, Cooper Kupp. I'd rather just wait in the fourth round and go get myself a Cooper Kupp or a Robert Woods.
Okay. So from a draft perspective, you're saying no way. But from a bounce back perspective, you're saying all day.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. I got it. It's fair. All right. Listen, let's end it unless we can think of another player at some point. I'm not even sure where we're at in time. Oh, yeah, we're right there in time. So, all right, the last guy we were going to discuss was another wide receiver, and his name was Deebo Samuel. And I thought this was an interesting name to bring up because had he not had his injury, if you remember back in mid to late June when he was doing workouts in Tennessee with some of the other 49ers, he suffered himself a broken bone, and I believe in the foot, if I'm not mistaken. Did have surgery right away on it. So we'll see. John Lynch has kind of made comments to suggest that maybe he misses some action in the early part of the year. Deebo Samuel has kind of just said, not that he's given a timeline, but he's basically said he's going to come back and be the biggest, strongest Deebo Samuel that you've ever seen. So, Anthony, you know, we talked a little bit about this 49ers offense already. We know, obviously, George Kittle, spoiler, it's going to be the biggest offensive weapon here. But what about Deebo Samuel? Deebo Samuel currently going with the fifth pick in the eighth round, I apologize. I want to take a look at just his ADP here over the last, since that news, he has slid from basically the ninth pick of the seventh round all the way down to fifth pick of the eighth. So what are we thinking here, Anthony? Deebo, are you willing to buy in with the potential of him missing some time?
Yeah, and I believe the ADP regression has the injury built into it. We talked about the 49ers earlier and why we'll buy into Jordan Reed at a cheap price because I don't trust the wide receivers. We don't know a lot about this wide receiver group. The only one we truly know about is Deebo Samuel. And Deebo Samuel, with the addition of Emmanuel Sanders last year, I don't know if it was what Emmanuel was doing on the field and maybe drawing coverage. I don't know if it was showing a Deebo Samuel to come into his own and be a pro. But whatever happened, we saw a nice stretch run out of Deebo Samuel to show that he could lead this wide receiver core. But let's call it what it is. George Kittle is the number one pass catcher in this offense. Just because Deebo is the presumed wide receiver one, he can still be the number two option. And I believe that's fine for a player you're getting in the eighth round and even later now with the injury factored in. They give Deebo Samuel handoffs. They get the football in the hands of the playmakers in San Francisco. And Deebo Samuel's absolutely positively a playmaker.
Yeah, absolutely he is. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So yeah, I'm all day on Deebo Samuel
Some of these metrics here for 13th in red zone receptions, 5th yards after the catch, number 8 in catch rate, number 12 in yards per target, and 20 in yards per route run. Also 15th in target separation. So the metrics are showing that Deebo can get the job done.
Yes. Absolutely. I'm going to give one little thing. I'm going to say I'm all day on Deebo because, again, I think if he misses time, I think it's 1-2 weeks tops, honestly. I would be surprised if he misses more than that. I'm going to go all day, but I am going to say one thing. If he misses 1 or 2 weeks, and if you're playing best ball, because, again, I've been doing a lot of DFS behind the scenes, Anthony, as you well know, Kendrick Bourne will be disgustingly cheap, and you can bet on him to get a red zone touchdown or two. So
I'm trying to see, where I recently drafted Deebo Samuel because I know I drafted him in a few spots here in the Hunger Bowl.
Hey,
I got him with the first pick in the 12th.
My goodness. Yeah. Wow.
Come on. This guy's not dead. He's not dead.
It's overreaction. Absolutely. But hey, if you could build it into your draft, keep it in mind. Anthony, anything else to say before we ride off into the sunset?
Yeah, absolutely. If you are listening right now on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating and a 5-star review, telling everyone why you love the show and why we are the best of what we do here at the FF Faceoff, because the more subscriptions, ratings, and reviews that we get, the more people we can help dominate their fantasy football leagues and raise their NFL IQ as a whole. It was a great week of football. We will be back on Monday, most likely covering the NFC North. What do we decide on? The Lions, my 2020 yes. NFC North champion Detroit Lions, and mm-hmm. the Chicago Bears.
Right. Yep. No, yeah, that's what we decided on. So, and we may or may not have some guests next week. We will keep you posted on that. So stay tuned.
Yeah, if we're going to do, I think we should play this either this game with a guest. So maybe we'll do another version of all or nothing, whatever this is.
Well, actually, we are going to have Lauren Carpenter on next week. That's for sure. So maybe we can do that with her.
Oh, I'm down.
What says you? Okay. There you go. All right. Well, Lauren Carpenter, her fate is already sealed on this program next week. So there you go. But guys, that is going to do it for us. Anthony, did you do your spiel ready?
I did. Were you listening?
All right. I'm so in the moment. Whatever. Listen, it has been actually, no, I do remember, Anthony. It has been a good week of podcasting. We had a great show with Jennifer Piacenti of Fantasy Alarm. We appreciate her coming on Wednesday. That was a fantastic show as we capped off the NFC South. Feel free to go back and listen to that. So that is going to do it for us, guys. We will catch you next week. But until then, stay kind, stay thirsty, and I would say be kind to one another. But more importantly, do the right thing. Don't be a creep on Twitter. There's ways in which you can meet women and talk to them. Preferably do it if you're not married. But either way, there are books to help you talk to women. But either way, until then, stay classy. We'll catch you next time. Cheers.